November 8th, 2009, you're listening to the TFormers.com podcast. Podcast. I am your host, Iron High 1975, and I am joined by you know who.
Yes, Z Piper. And I just got done reading the Twilight books, and I see what all the fuss is about.
Really? What is it?
No, I'm kidding. They suck.
Oh. Okay. And also,
and I'm Ender.
Yeah.
And I just finally rewatched Revenge of the Fallen, and I discovered something. And it's not easy for me to say this. You know, it's hard for a person to admit that he's wrong, but I just got to come out and say something. Not even the damn forest scene is any good.
Oh, Ender. Will you ever change sides and look into the light that is the happiness of love? Ooh, that was poetic. Where did that come from? Where the
fortune cookie fortune number 43.
I got a theory about where that came from, let me tell you.
Seriously, I'm like, where the hell did that come from? I need to drink more Diet Coke more often. Holy cow.
I shouldn't have eaten
those petunias.
Yeah. What was that, Jace?
I just said that was the closest thing to a coherent sentence I've said in a while. Where's my pen, boy?
Wow, I should be a writer for Yes songs.
Yeah.
Yoo-hoo caps.
Yeah, there you go. The little nuggets of wisdom on the inside of Snapples.
Right. Oh, yeah. Do they still do that with Snapples?
I don't know,
Snapple. And...
Oh. All right, I'll have to buy one tomorrow at work and take a look. Anyhow. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, Sam, my favorite where they had those Sobe drinks, Sobe. They had one that said Sobe 1 Kenobi.
Nice.
Day.
Oh, there you go. Well, speaking of mass marketing tie-in with beverage drinks, there's no movie news at all this week.
Which is really okay, because, I mean, what is there? It's like, oh, we're blowing stuff up, it's bigger. I mean, it's the same crap every week, so
yeah,
until we get something
right.
Tangible, that's fine.
It came... It sucked. It sold.
It didn't suck. It was mildly entertaining at the most.
At the most, yes.
At the most.
Dude, it was barely passable, yes?
Barely passable at the least.
I might actually rather watch it than clean my gutters today. I'm holding them at about the same scale.
See, Ender, you like Star Trek V, but you don't like Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen. I don't.
I like G.I. Joe, and I don't like.
I
like G.I. Joe too.
I don't.
You know what it is? I figured it out. I watched G.I. Joe this week too, and there's like a couple of scenes in G.I. Joe where the dialogue is so bad, like the love thing when she's on the treadmill. Talking to Ripcord. That scene is so bad, you want to like get up and walk away. And I was watching that scene and thinking, like, why do I like this movie more than Revenge of the Fallen? And I realized what it was. It's because every scene in Revenge of the Fallen is like that.
Well, yes. See, I actually thought that was the best scene in the movie because it showed the guy had actual, you know, emotion. He was trying to make a connection there, and he was actually doing it. And Jason, that's the Wayne's brother guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
his performance was fine. There was nothing wrong with his performance in that scene. The problem was she's being portrayed as like this like science nerdy person who's going on about how like emotions can't be quantified and therefore don't exist.
She's
and then it's
fucked.
Like the least science. No, that doesn't make any sense. That's the least scientific thing in the universe. They can't. I mean, like, it's your glands. We know where these things come from. Right now, there's some little, oh my God, this is so stupid gland firing that is making me say this. It's not hard to identify.
I think they were trying to make her like the Spock of G.I. Joe or Data, you know, where she doesn't have any emotions, but yet she finds emotion in the end. That's the whole plot point.
She had all emotion. It's just, well, that's my point is that it didn't work, and it was hence Well, a really bad scene. That's like the whole of Revenge of the Fallen. Scene after scene with no emotional continuity.
You know what, Andrew? Actually, I want to recommend something to you because I think I'm very curious to get your...
Prozac?
No. Besides that.
Booze? So, I have booze.
Ritalin or... no, but go listen to... go to our friend who's done the Transformers Reject Show, Conan, Chris Conroy, and listen to his Tech Diff podcast. His latest series of podcasts called The Account are so well written. I think you would love them because the writing he does on this is just absolutely phenomenal. And you would probably listen to this and go, this is what Transformers should have been, I think. So when you get a chance, go check that out.
And, by the way, it's technical difficulties because he threw out the little shortening there to be hip, like he knew it, like everybody would know what he's talking about. Yeah,
it's TechDiff, TechDiff.com. So go check out. He's done the Transformers Reject series for us and whatnot. And he's supposed to give me another version sometime here soon. But it's, I mean, seriously, the writing on that was like the best radio drama I have ever heard in like the longest time. So, So go check that out. I think you'll.
I will.
You'll be like, this is what G.I. Joe should have been. See, the dialogue is interesting here. You see.
Dude, I like G.I. Joe, and the women were hotter, so it's cool.
Oh, well, that holds no value for me. I need big, giant robots above, you know, hot women. So, Megan Fox is, you know, like...
How long have you had this problem?
It's not a problem. It's a different lifestyle. No, No, actually, that's true. But moving on to there's, like I said, there's no movie news at all. So
that's fine.
Yes, yeah,
so but we got our kvetching in about the movie anyway. So
yeah, we got Ender's Reddit. We got Ender's House of Crap, or as the movie guys would say. So crappy corner or something.
Is it crap or does it suck?
Yes. So let's move on to toy news. And Jason, tell us about the exclusive mail-away figure revealed as Rant Ravage, blah, 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 blah.
So, yes. The exclusive mail-away figure that will be tied in with the Nest Global Alliance subline of the Revenge of the Fallen has been revealed as a, yay, repaint of Deluxe Ravage. Our first look at the figure is courtesy of Benson Yee's Transformers World. That is the most straightforward name of any Transformers site I've heard so far, and that works. You know, we know what we're going for. It's not something crazy kooky with okay, anyway. I dig that. Good on you, Benson Yee. So, the figure has red highlights, similar in color to the Infiltration sound wave,
and to many strippers.
Yes, and to many strippers. You know, he there's some glitter accessories with that, and I believe we've got a pole included as well. So located on the spikes, nose and top of the hind legs is where the red highlights are. The limbs of the front and rear legs have been painted a silver color, and each figure, the figure package sports the Nest Global Alliance symbol. Well, you know, it's like if it wasn't there, then I would just be, you know, distraught. Excuse me, are those Bugle Boy jeans that you're wearing? Why, yes, they are. Global Alliance symbol. There would be... a sticker, it's the symbol of the Autobot with the globe. It's a sticker with Nest. Okay, great. It's a sticker. And it's just, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. That sticker will be one of the three that you must collect and attach to the mission guide, the official redemption certificate. Oh, well, that's kind of cheesy. So they've also posted, the catalog scans showing off all the figures of the subline. Most of them you have already seen before, excluding EVAC, orange and gray helicopters. Yeah, so you got to buy three different things to get the stickers, to mail them in, to get the Ravage. And all the details and fine pictures are on the... on the T-Formers website. But yeah, I agree. This is definitely a stripper color scheme there. It's awesome. We just need to get a little bit of silver glitter around his chest plate right there, and
let's
we'll be good.
Seal Ravage.
Yes.
You know, I gotta say, my big takeaway on this is I'm just kind of like, ooh, mail-in figure! And it's such a, like, 1984 fanboy reaction because I was collecting toys when they had the mail-in figures. And I never had the wherewithal to do it, but I always sit there with those little, pamphlets they'd have. And be like, ooh, I want a mailing figure. I think the big – what they really missed out on doing here is I wasn't Skids originally a mail-away figure? Wasn't that his where he came from?
I don't think so.
No,
I believe yes, he was. You're talking the one that was originally painted blue, right, back in the day?
Right.
Yeah, I believe that you are.
Was he silver? Wasn't he silver?
No, you're thinking of Camshaft and the three Autobots, and then there was the Power Drive guy. So you're thinking of.
I thought he was one of those three Autobots, though. I don't remember him.
Skids had a box. You could buy Skids. Yeah, you could buy Skids.
You could buy Skids, but I know what you're talking about because I had a buddy of mine that ordered him, and it comes in just a stupid little white box with no.
Repainted somebody to look like one of those guys from those mail-aways. I'd have been sorely tempted to participate in just on the goofy fanboy note.
Well, I mean, I remember I collected all because you would collect the points from the boxes, and then basically I got Camshaft, and there was Camshaft Overdrive. I can't remember the third one. I'm sure Scaleface is screaming at the podcast right now. And then there was, I think, the one Power Drive. I want to say Power Drive figure. There was one extra guy that in his mode changed depending on what extra toy they had lying around that you got.
Everyone be sure to go to the T-Formers forums after this podcast to see Scaleface tell you what these things all actually are.
Yeah, Scaleface is our resident correction expert.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, so mail-away, beyond the childhood joy of mail-away stuff, does this do anything for you guys?
I mean, it's not bad. I never actually did the mail-aways when I was younger because I was, incredibly anal even back then, surprise, and I didn't want to destroy my boxes. It's like even when I got the ones on the blister cards, like Bumblebee, Cliff Jumper, and whatnot, I would spend 10 minutes carefully prying the bubble adhesive off so that I could still have the front box artwork as opposed to just ripping it, where it would just rip the whole front of the thing off there. So I never cut out my robot points because I saved all my boxes.
Yeah, my parents made me do that too. I mean, I tried to keep the stuff as clean as possible, and I ended up having to cut the plastic off with the X-Acto blade in order to maintain keeping the. I wonder, I probably still have some card backings now that I think about it if I do some research.
You do, because some of the Transformers I sold you had them.
Yeah, they're somewhere. They're probably somewhere. I could probably find them. But
don't you always want to take those old offers when you have all the stuff for it and send it into Hasbro and see if anyone will say something back to you?
Yeah, there you go.
You could just get a kind little letter that was like, yes, that was in 1987.
I bet they probably still have a couple lying around just in case that ever comes to fruition. They probably.
Oh, this is Hasbro, not Nintendo.
Oh, that's right. A good point. Yes, yes. All right. Well, speaking of disappointment with toy companies,
what should we do with all these shockwaves? Burn them.
Let's drop these into a giant pit. Let's take all these ET cartridges and roll over them with a lot of mud.
I'm bored. So after lunch, why don't we throw a few more Fort Maxes on the catapult?
Yeah. Yeah, let's take all these Lisa computers and put them in a dumpster somewhere. So they're not going to be worth anything. So anyhow, God, we're showing our age, gentlemen. So let's talk about something that's not age, but something that's new, and that's incredible leader Starscream, Ender.
Okay, just in, not really, more news coverage on Transformers Revenge of the Fallen leader Starscream action figure. We've been getting information in bits and pieces from a couple images here, a few pictures there. Thanks to Toad Grocery Store, that's a fine name, who has posted a video demoing the leader class Starscream light and sound functions. This video is so disturbing. He's got this thing out, and it's like in pieces. It's like, he's like holding the head in one hand and like making the connection with an X-Acto knife. This is like a ransom video. This is like the Transformers action figure collecting answer to like Saw.
It wouldn't be so disturbing if there was some adequate lighting, but he's like doing it in like the corner of his basement or something.
Yeah, it's got this sort of like natural light creating some shadows. It's really, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
But go on. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So basically, this figure is going to say, "No one can defeat Starscream," over and over again, interspersed with little jet noises. There was some suggestion that maybe it was the original voice actor, but it didn't sound anything like it to me. But there you have it. It lights up. It makes sounds. It blinks when it makes a jet noise, and it holds fast while it says, "No one can defeat Starscream." Which is ironic because everyone can, in fact, defeat Starscream.
Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, here's the Decepticons. Welcome to the ranks. You get to defeat Starscream on Tuesday.
Well, what do we think of this leader toy? I love the toy. It's looking really, really, really well done, in my opinion. I think if you're gonna get any Starscream toy, this is the toy you want to get.
Yeah, once again, this is a fantastic three-dimensional transforming image of something I don't want to see.
You don't like this robot at all?
No, I hate this one. I think he's one of the ugliest ones in the whole movie franchise. His head looks nothing like Starscream, nor does it look cool in any way, shape, or form. He's got that big triangle body that he's got, like, the chicken arms and, like, little spindly, like, or chicken legs and the big little spindly arms. I think he looks awful, like, in every conceivable way. Oh. And their whole excuse of, like, "Oh, we didn't want to cheat in any way, so all that mass had to go somewhere." And it was kind of like, well, why didn't you make a little of the plane hollow and make him shaped like something cool? Yes. I don't know. I find no excuse for the look of this Starscream. Well, he was voiced a lot better in the second movie and had character. It was actually one of the few things I thought was, you know, actually done fairly well was Starscream's personality in Revenge of the Fallen. But The look of the design is just awful. And like so many movie things lately, it's like, wow, you've really done a great job of bringing out all the details I didn't want to see.
So, all right then, Jace, your thoughts?
No, I mean, I kind of agree with the whole body shape thing. He kind of reminds me of one of those bodybuilders that just love working the upper body and kind of forget about, you know, the legs and whatnot. So basically they're just like, you know, a big beach ball with a few toothpicks sticking out of it. And that's kind of what this guy reminds me of. Yeah. And I don't know why, but like looking at the trimming on him, like the design as far as like the details go, the only thing I could think of was that's the artwork that like you constantly see on the tramp stamps.
Oh, you're talking about his tattoos?
Well, I would imagine they wouldn't be considered tattoos on him, but yes, the detailing and whatnot, it's just the line work, the symbols, it totally reminds me of actually something that should be on like a Girls Gone Wild chick right above her crack.
Well, no, that's actually it. Oh, God. Ender, would you actually, you read the comic, that's where did he get his tattoos from?
In the origin comic, he scratched them into himself. They're ancient Cybertronian symbols of something. It was like emo scream. It was pretty bad.
Ancient Cybertronian secret, huh?
Well, I think it's like, you know, Celtic. It's like, aren't I cool? I found Celtic. Nobody, that's brand new.
I like Durids. Yes, Durids are fun.
Okay.
And now, Starscream, we will take over the... Did you paint your fingernails?
It brings out my eyes.
You guys are terrible. Oh. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, all right.
So I say kudos to the engineers. I think Hasbro has, like, some really fantastic engineers.
Well, yeah, they were
and
taking...
toy designers working for them right now, and they're just wasted. Wasted on this.
Well, I think they're probably like, they took the original mold that they came up with the movie and had to figure out, well, how the hell do we make this thing turn into a jet? So, yeah. I mean, so, I don't know. It doesn't bother me that much. I've grown to like it over the course of the two movies. I think that the toy itself is an amazing toy. I mean, we have, what, four leader class figures from this line, Prime, Jetfire, Megatron, and Starscream. So you got the top four there, so.
Yeah. Prime is genius. The others are, eh.
Well, if you played with the toy, would this change your? Could this possibly change?
I could find myself being impressed with the engineering feat enough to want to have the toy. I suppose I'd have to see it in person. Really mess with this video is not going to give you that. This is like it's pieces on the floor.
Well, yeah, and the question is, why is he taking it apart? Is why I'm curious.
Maybe he's just like that into like the. You know, the review kind of process that he's actually disassembling the toy and looking for how things work.
Wow.
People do that.
All right, well, we'll have to see what happens when we get some this into people's hands, we get some more reviews on it, so.
Yes, he does the same thing with his girlfriends, too.
God. This is that kid who lived next door in Toy Story. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That thing's going to be grafted to an animated Rekgar in like 40 minutes, and it's going to have like abdomen of a Barbie.
Speaking of plot points in movies, did anyone think that the way that the toys actually started moving in Toy Story to deal with that kid was a very weak plot point?
I thought it was sort of delivery on sort of the notion that, you know, that your toys are alive around you. It was sort of the scary side of that whole idea. But, that they're sort of like a benevolent thing is happening there most of the time, but this person had tortured his toys into
coming alive and actually giving up their whatever.
It's like the horror movie version of Toy Story.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, yeah, really, all you got to do is just show a young kid that scene in Poltergeist where the clown comes alive and strangles him. That'll get the job done.
So I just want to see, I want the Toy Story thing to happen in my house because I have, like, the army of Optimus Primes. I always had one to, like, see them all hunting down a Megatron in the middle of the night.
Don't mind us. We think Megatron's in the kitchen.
Yeah. 300 Primes in Legion.
All right.
Including the Mr. Potato Head one. I mean, come on.
Potato Head, you're a scout. Oh, geez,
yeah, you ever see Team America? He'd be like the Matt Damon version. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, enough about that.
Moving on to, could the Red Baron Ransack be dive bombed? Made by a Toy Store post a new pre-order for a list of Scout 2010 Series 02 set of 3, geez, from Hasbro with the case mix indicating a not-yet-revealed-for-release figure named Dive Bomb. This is the third of the Scout-class figures with Sky Stalker and Scattershock. If the history serves us well, the name suggests this is a repaint of a flyer-type Transformers, leaving us with a Red Baron Ransack as the primary suspect in the class. So, yay repaints yet again.
I don't know what his name is, but all I know is it makes me want to take my Ransack and put a little Snoopy figure in him.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
that's all I'm getting from this.
Was he featured in the comics? I seem to recall him being featured in the comics somewhere.
No, I think what you might be thinking of was they did that Hearts of Steel thing. And in that, many of the Seekers turned into sort of that era of plane.
Oh, gotcha.
Sort of cloth-winged kind of.
Okay, I seem
to know. Biplanes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I could be
Which
wrong.
Looked kind of cool. I'd love to see one of those made.
Yeah, it's interesting design. It's just I never thought you would see an actual old-fashioned plane as a Transformer, but it does beg the question if.
Well, yeah.
What it would look like, so.
I mean, I did actually snag a Ransack just on the basis of I wanted a biplane Transformer.
So. Really? How's the toy?
It falls apart a little easy, but I kind of dig the novelty of the alt mod.
Okay.
I bought the toaster too, you know.
How's the toaster?
I haven't unpacked it yet. I'm not that excited.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll move on to more exciting news, Eeyore. Jason, why don't you tell us about the mysterious Frenzy Rumble figure.
Yes. So thanks to TF Op for the heads up on a prototype image that has surfaced on HK-TF for a new Transformers robot that closely resembles the Soundwave cassette character Rumble and Frenzy. The head and torsos are dead ringers for the cassettes, the way they looked in the G1 cartoons. But chances are this is another fan-made type project. Hasbro and Takara are much more careful about letting things leak, you know, the info. Moreover, the Gen 1 cassettes are being reissued in the Encore series. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and it's highly unlikely they would be competing for their own sales. So the only thing I can't figure out on this, because right now, you know, and you can see this on on the website, you know, it's the gray, you know, initial prototype figure. There's nothing in here to indicate scale, so I don't know if they're really going for the actual, you know, the old size of the cassettes, or if it's, you know, kind of based upon and being a little bit larger. I don't know.
I'm thinking it's got to be a little bit larger because the way that the holes in the hands are, it looks at least, I want to say, 4 inches.
Yeah, and the ball joint size seems a little big.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would hope they would be.
What does it transform into is what I'm curious. I'm assuming it's a giant tape.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from the look of it, yeah. I mean, why would you make a figure and not make it transform into what it was based off of?
Because it's a tape that would never fit into any. Well, actually, I wonder
if you look at it.
Go ahead, Ender.
It has tape elements that were sort of from the original toy, but it's from the back, which would have been his chest. Yeah. And while it does look kind of reel-to-reel-ish because it had those holes there back in the day, that's just the front design. That might not necessarily indicate it. It's also really kind of too small to be a tape deck.
Right.
Cassette. You know, like, it doesn't look like those are far enough apart. It just looks like they're reusing that design.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking it's like the original Frenzy was a mini tape. I wonder if this is maybe like a regular size tape. So, for those of you listeners who are too young to remember, these are the regular tapes that your mom and dad put in their car to listen to music on. Right after 8-Track.
8-Track, yeah. Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, cruising down, 8-Track, yeah.
Jason.
Sad thing is, kids who, if there are any, who actually listen to this show, their parents probably listen to CDs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, I was talking to somebody just 2 hours ago. They said he said his ex-wife did not know what the Cold War was.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, kids, pay attention in school is the only thing I can tell you. All right. So, the amount of excitement has drained out of that story. So, moving on, Ender.
Okay. I didn't realize how quickly the excitement had drained there.
Well, you're boring me, so.
I was going to say, yeah, it's not excitement. It's a matter of, something shiny over here now. I am done with you. Yes.
Oh, good. Well, I get some more repaints to talk about.
Yay.
Oh, let's just get our party hats on for this. Okay. eBay seller TFC Toy has posted 2 new auctions with images of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Leader Class, Shadow Command Megatron. Commands the shadows. And Voyager class Final Defense Optimus Prime, because we need a Final Defense one more time. First reported here, Brucey, there's a nice little link on the website from which I'm reading. We saw only the Photoshop images. These images are not very big, but they do offer a first look at what the production figures may look like. So this may actually be something real. Shadow Command Megatron is looking black. This character's toy has been really hard to capture in the mold. While this repaint is not reminiscent of Megatron's movie roles, hence, you know, because it looks nothing like him, it seems to be one of the more impressive or least annoying movie Megatron figures yet. That's high praise, isn't it?
Yes. Windows 7, less bad than you thought it would be.
And here we have Final Defense Optimus Prime. You could do worse.
Yes.
I just want to say kudos on the Windows 7 reference, Jace.
Yeah, that was really timely. It almost seemed like we weren't born 35 years ago.
People will look back on this episode and go, now I know when this was done.
Final Defense Optimus Prime seems to contrast the most from its initial photoshopped image. The gray instead of red front gives the truck a washed-out look, almost like an unpainted test shot or a prototype. However, the new color scheme works better in the robot mode with red paint apps around the windows and blue plastic legs for an almost G1 look. How many times are they going to repaint this thing?
Well, we have one coming for white for Ultra Magnus or blue.
Yeah.
And then we have one for, Nemesis Prime, and then one for Shattered Glass for BotCon 2010.
This is like becoming the movie versus answer to, like, I don't know, Meatloaf Casserole. This thing is just like over and over again. It was a good, you know, of the first movie figures, this was the better Prime. She had gotten a couple of times, and they gave it a G1 repaint. I was like, okay, that's cool. And now they've reused it for this movie, and they've written out, I think they've, was this the second or the third one they've already done for Revenge of the Fallen? So there's like four, five of these different now in 2 years.
Well, I think for the first movie, you had the regular Prime, you had the, what was it, the Ultra Prime. You had
RoboVision Prime.
Yeah, and then you had the Ultra Magnus Blue one, which is the one I have.
There was, I think they called the Final Defense one, and that one was a G1
Repaint. Night Watch Prime or something.
No, Night Watch was the Leader Class Repaint. Yeah. I don't think they did that in this size.
No, but I'm saying that basically at some point they're going to take this leader mold for the second movie and paint it blue, paint it black, you know, whatever they can.
I'm surprised they haven't done more with this leader mold that's so awesome. Like, that's something you could be reselling. If they repainted that in a cool way, I'd pick it up. If they put the G1 stripe on it the way they did for this, I would pick it up. I would drop another $40 to have that.
How about they just give us a trailer?
Don't be silly.
I just want Prime to have a trailer. His trailer combining with him to make him that much more powerful. Now, that would be in a good plot point instead of Jetfire ripping out his spark and combining up.
Well, speaking of that, did either of you two see the fantastic little animated video called How It Should Have Ended for Revenge of the Fallen?
No.
What's that? That's a series, isn't it, that they do?
I think I saw a Lord of the Rings one for them a few years ago, which I heavily approved of.
Well, how do you just summarize it first, Ender, and then send me the link later.
Well, the first thing is they show Prime standing outside the factory where Sam's being held, admonishing the Autobots for always leaving him to go fight alone for no reason. And then when they show him getting killed, they go, man, if only we had some way to bring robots back to life. And Michaela's like, oh, look, it's a shard of the Allspark. I had it in my purse the whole time. And then they went to the desert scene, and Jetfire's dying, and Prime's, you know, standing there. He goes, here, Prime, take all my parts and turn into the awesome robot everyone wants you to be. And all the parts fly up onto Prime, and they, like, completely envelop him head to toe so you can't see them. And then they drop off, and he's Generation 1 Prime. He's like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Wait, where is that?
Just do a search for How It Should Have Ended. I believe there's a whole series.
It's amazing. It's absolutely
is
great.
It ended, let's see, How It Should Have Ended Transformers. Is this, now what's this done in?
It's Flash, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just Flash animation.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's also a section of Ironhide saying, like, quick, Sam, run to Prime! And he's like, dude, why don't you turn into a car and drive me there? What? Yeah. I don't understand. Like, no, really, you all turn into cars. You want me to run 10 miles across the desert?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying now.
Are they
the ones that did summarized the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy, and that it's like they just had Gandalf call the eagles and just fly them over Mount Doom and
right,
drop the ring
right.
And like, oh, it's so much easier than walking.
Well, that was always, I always thought that at the end of that movie, there's this fantastic shot of Frodo looking up when the eagle grabs him. He kind of wakes up and he realizes he's been picked up by the eagle, and he looks up and sees the wings and sees Gandalf, and he's got this look on his face that's just dazed, and I can always just hear him thinking, these effing things.
Yeah.
Why didn't we take these things?
Like, you son of a... Oh.
Now, did you just say the... Now, do I have to cut it? God darn
effing,
it.
Effing.
I said effing. Okay, okay.
You know, you should drop a bleep in here every once in a while for us. I gotta say. Be funny.
Well, here's the normal...
We got all those bong sound effects in last week.
Yeah, what did you think of the sound effects on last week's show, by the way?
They were good. I started to, like, I was listening to them carefully, thinking, like, what was your subconscious motivation for putting them in where you were putting them in?
I actually just dropped them in left or right. Where,
like, I was just thinking,
spaced.
Like, is this heartbeat that's coming up and accelerating, is this meant to, like, evoke my blood pressure as I start to rant about something?
No. Just wherever I had space, I just dropped things in randomly. So
you're going to tell me that you did something without thought and just ham-fisted? Come on.
Yeah, just like Hasbro.
he's still going for that job.
I am. I'm trying. This
maybe if I stop thinking about what I do.
I'm watching this. This is pretty good animation here. I'm just, even with the sound off, I'm watching it, and it's... it's actually really good flash animation for.
Yeah, it's a very enjoyable little video. I highly recommend it to everybody. It's too bad it's so short because it couldn't get all the plot holes, but that might actually take longer than the movie.
Right.
Oh, jeez. It's not... Anyhow. All right, moving on.
Oh, no, it is. What? I'm not being sarcastic. It's that bad.
I know, you're not, but that's the problem is that you have to... I love the movie coming out of it. It was fun. I think you're just... I see the part where everything's on top of him. And there's G1 Prime. That's awesome. Yeah, that's where it should have been, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I was thinking the other day, what's probably going to happen is that 20 years from now, when technology is so great, like, you know how, who's the guy that did, who's the guy that did those sort of slash horror movie remakes that, the guy had, like, his jar of scrotums?
Dude, you seriously just we just went there, everybody.
No, just
congratulations.
We've
arrived at the jar of scrotums at the T-Formers.
Well, no, just follow me. Just follow me here. So, what was his name? What was Quarantino? Did those two movies that were like Back to the Day to their with the girl with her leg as a gun?
Oh,
Vinny Barbarino.
Okay, so yeah, he did these movies that basically were an homage. So I'm thinking, like, in 20 years, when somebody has, like, we have the capability to easily make these movies, somebody is going to say, I'm going to do the Transformers film that everybody wanted to see with the original G1 characters. Granted, Megatron's going to turn into a gun, but I'll solve that by just having a stupid line like Starscream go, you turn into a gun? And he say, yes, and I'm never going into your hands.
You could just have him turn into a tank, which would be, like, so easy.
Yeah, but I'm thinking somewhere down the line, somebody's going to actually make, like, 20 years from now, there's going to be a new series of just, like, it's not even going to be anything that's going to be, like, a big deal, except to fans, but it's going to be, like, the Transformer movie that everybody wanted to see done by, like, a grade B director. And that's going to be the one that has, you know, G1 Prime and everything that we wanted to see. So
maybe we'll see a new animated, like, direct-to-video thing like that someday. I'd say that's more likely.
Yeah. Or we may see a new...
Well, there's that new Hasbro Studio thing, so...
Yes, well, that's... Hold on, we're getting to that story, so we'll get to that story. But yeah, so yeah, I'm waiting for some director that, like... You know, I'm waiting for 10 years to actually some directors say, well, we can easily do these things now with the advanced technology. I'm just going to make the Transformers movie the fans wanted to see and whatnot. So, and then Michael Bay will be like, why did that one make more money than mine? So, anyhow, so just have wishful thinking. Moving on to, digging myself out of that dark hole. Takara repaints Easy Collection Devastator in G1 colors. And Bantha Trader, I'm assuming?
Bantha Trader.
Bantha Trader. From Star Wars.
Bantha.
Okay. Over at Digital Toys.
Sam people wrote.
Gotcha. Yes, they scare easily, but they come back in hordes. Over at Digital
Toys. And the Sandmen always ride them single file to hide their numbers.
Yes. God, see, I hate when I try to quote something. You guys know things better than me. Over at Digital Toys, let us know at Tomi Takar will be repainting the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Easy Collection figures in G1 colors. If you didn't see coming, you'll be able to get these Legends Classic Toys original series in green and purple. Check out the pre-order now at digitaltoys.com. I am so getting this for Christmas. This here is what has to go, like, right next to the G1 Devastator. And then I can just go, see? Old, new, see? Uh-huh.
I still like the old Devastator better. I like the look of him better. This, I don't know.
I say, what a blatant ploy. You know, I mean, only the most gullible G1 fanboyed out repaint hogging completist would fall for this scam. Where can we get these?
Yeah. that would be me.
Where's the site? How much does it cost?
Digital-toys.com. Digital-toys.com. Digital-toys.com.
Is there a dash?
There's no dash.
No, it's digital-toys.com /transformers.html.
Ah.
So, trust me, I know the web. If there's anything I do right, it's web programming.
Okay. I'll buy that.
The one thing I do right. I'll tell you one thing. So I'm really anxious to get the two if I can find the if I also find some money. I'd love to get Masterpiece with Skywarp, even though it require me walking into the Den of Sin. But
I snagged one yesterday.
You did?
I did.
Is it out of its box?
Nope. It's displayed quite nicely in there. I'm okay with it where it is.
Now this is the
Go and hunt it down. They have like a whole separate toy aisle that they've set up. It's like, this is the real toy aisle. Like the normal one didn't have anything exciting in it. I'm like, oh, this kind of sucks. Then I like go to the Christmas area that they've set up, and off to the side in there are three more aisles full of exclusives and their other exclusives. I saw the other Revenge of the Fallen exclusives they had this for the season, and Star Wars exclusives and all sorts of other stuff. And it was like, way to tuck this in the back. But they had tons of them.
So
if you're looking for them right now, they're out there.
Now, this Skywarp is the same size as the one in the Japanese version in the larger box. It's just in a different box, right?
Yeah, to my knowledge, are...
This was my confusion, because we went to BotCon about 2 years ago, and there were two different versions of Starscream. One in the classic style, and then one in the black box. And from what everything I've been told, I thought there were two different versions, and the classics one was a smaller version, but it's actually the same size as the Takara one, from what I've been told.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I think they're all the same size.
Okay.
I don't think there's any scale.
Yeah, it's one mold the same size. It's just the packaging will make it look humongous compared to the
other. Well, I think there's one thing, like the wings are in there in a funny way, and I think they were trying to keep all that Masterpiece packaging kind of relative to each other, too.
All right. But as I'm putting this onto my Amazon wish list, hoping my sister gets it for my birthday.
I passed on the G1 Starscream last year because I just didn't have the cash for it at the time, and I've really regretted not finding a way to get it since.
You know, that's a question. What do you do in terms of, like, what do you guys do when you if you're very short on cash, but you really know if you don't get this toy now, you're never going to get it? I mean, do you get it or you just say screw it?
You sell something else to get the money and then buy it.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah. I've done all manner of things to get. I've counted pennies out of the couch to get a Prime.
So what have you sold? What have you sold? What have you sold, Jace, that you would use to get something you really wanted?
Well, I've sold quite a lot of the Transformers that I bought back in the day. That I'm like, he's cool, but not that incredible anymore. So I would sell it, and I still had the boxes and all the accessories, got the money, bought other things,
and they look good on my shelves, mind you.
Yeah, some of them do. Yes indeed. So with just that, and hell, I've been doing collectibles my whole life, so I've got comics. I'd be like, oh, okay, well, I'll sell Harbinger number one, and the money that I get from that I'll put towards this awesome Transformer. So you switch your collections around a little bit.
Yeah
that, and gigoloing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, any other thoughts on this? The Easy Devastator, other than I would like to get it.
No, I think I'd pick this one up, and I hope they bring it to our shores, because I don't think I'm going to bother to import it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the only other thing, is trying to get things over here cost a little bit of a penny. So, but all right, moving on, Jace. Next story as we continue on with our Transformers toy news.
Yeah, this one's actually is pretty cool, actually. This one, because I love the accessory kits. I think that's just such a, I don't want to say untapped, but I should say a market that I would like to see a hell of a lot bigger than it is. This is the City Commander TF-001 Wreckers Leader Upgrade. So iGear has updated their site with news and images for the fan project redo of the City Commander upgrade. And there's a good, some really nice pictures on the website, if you haven't seen those yet. And it's basically taking a cue from the animated cartoon series. The Magnus upgrade comes with a new head that looks much more like the G1-esque, Ultra Magnus that we remember. He's got a big, Energon kind of, or energy hammer weapon. And then that breaks apart into two smaller one-sided hammers. So that's kind of neat in and of itself. He's got a fusion cannon, in blue plastic. He's got sword, missile, flag. He's got, a lot of stuff that really kind of pushes this over the top, and I think it looks really good.
Cool.
I think I'm going to pick one of these up.
Yeah, I mean, really it's great. Packaging's pretty slick too, so it's the complete the complete deal as far as I'm concerned.
Good.
Well, just the once again, this is what these fan projects look, you know, work very well for us, doing these little accessories that just complete the toy just for you, you know, those who are the actual hardcore, you know, hardcore experts here. Although I was looking at Fans Project website, and I guess actually someone's ripped off their mold for this City Commander set, and they were showing examples of the differences between the knockoff and the and their version of it. I'm like, that's kind of weird. They actually somebody actually has ripped off a upgrade kit. So
yeah, rip off the rip off of the rip off.
Yeah, go figure.
yeah, well. So nobody starts suing. Now it's like turned into the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, that's for sure. But I'm sorry, you were going to say something, Ender.
I was going to say, you know, this is a great opportunity to take a moment to say to Hasbro, if anyone's listening, this is what Ultra Magnus looks like.
Yeah.
He doesn't look a goddamn thing like Optimus Prime. All right. Yeah, one of his like components was made out of an Optimus Prime way back when. He never looked like that in the show. He never looked like that in the fiction. And yes, in the second Transformers Limited series from Dreamwave, it was kind of a cool moment to see that he was wearing armor and underneath he looked like Prime. That was like a really cool little fanboy. Oh, wow, they didn't like the toy. That didn't mean you could just like call any white Prime Ultra Magnus and leave it there. All right?
I remember.
We've made one Ultra Magnus in G1, one Ultra Magnus in Robots in Disguise, and one Ultra Magnus for Animated. None of the others are Ultra Magnus.
Yeah. Those commercials where it's like there's a guy and it's like product testing and he's got two kids in front of him and he asks the one girl, do you want a pony? She's like, yeah. And he hands her like a little plastic pony and she's all happy. And he turns to the other one. He's like, do you want a pony? Yeah. And they like bring out a real pony for her. And the other little girl's like, what the hell?
That's
that's how I felt when I got the Ultra Magnus toy as a kid. I was so happy. I'm like, oh my God, it's a cool big Transformer. And I open it up, I'm like, this is a white Prime. What the hell is this? And I remember feeling so disappointed because it was so lame.
See, this is why we should have done that video. We could have done a parody of those commercials with Ultra Magnus. See, see, kids even know when Ultra Magnus isn't real. So I can't remember what were those commercials advertised? I think it's like, it's not Liberty.
I don't even remember. I just love that.
Here's what we need to do. We'll make a fake commercial. It's like, we've gone back in time to see how Hasbro's current marketing strategy would have worked in 1984. We'll have a present wrapped up, and it'll say Ultra Magnus, and you pull it out of the box, and it's just the white Prime. No trailer.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is this?
Well, needless to say, though, the toy, that upgrade kit in the Shadow Commander kit is probably one of the best things I've ever seen coming out of the fans. I mean, just in terms of a fans-made upgrade kit project, I mean, that is probably the best thing. I show everyone that I know that's a somewhat Transformers fan that computer animation, they go, holy crap. So, but yeah, I guess that's all that can be said about that story. Any other thoughts, guys?
It's awesome. Buy it.
Buy it. Get it. Order it now. Sunday. No. All right. Moving on to another upgrade set. All right. Jace, I think you get to read this. Or did you read the last one?
I read the last one.
You read? Okay. So now it's up to Jace.
Okay, sure. I think I read the last one, but I'll be happy to read this one too. It was so long ago, I can't even remember. It's the booze talking.
To be honest, I hate to say this, I'm on Amazon.com. Add this to my wish list. So,
hey, absolutely. So we've
read the first paragraph, and I'll read the second one, and we'll call it even.
How about you both read it at the same time?
We'll read every other word.
It'll be like Village of the Damned. So, Chankoff's
over
at
H.
K.
T.
F.
Have.
Posted.
A.
Whole.
Bunch.
Of.
New.
Images.
For.
T.
TFC. F.
C. O.
O.
Five.
Yeah, we're losing it.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Yeah. Gear of War 2 upgrade set. These have been just released in Asia. New images show the full individual box.
I'm what? Sorry. It would work better if you guys did individual sentences.
No, we needed to, like, on our Star Trek 5 kick, we should have done the sing-along thing. I could have started in, at, like, it posted. We could have just said it all twice.
Row, oh, there row. You go. Yeah, row, row, row your boat. That's yeah, awesome. Exactly.
Now, these new images show off the full box as well as the inserts, instructions, and each of the guns paired up with a Prime. The set of weapons were designed specifically for Revenge of the Fallen Optimus Prime, Classics Optimus Prime, and the Alternity Convoy action figures. These are really BFGs. Yep, that's a new term. For yeah. Prime, taking the bloat to a new level. The bloat? I know if I get a gun with a light in it, I just bloat.
Wait, hey, you know what, Anthony? That could be a new Zapbot for you. He's kind of a big guy. It's bloaty.
It's Bloatimus bloat Maximus.
You just see Prime firing at this at Megatron, and he's like insta-fat.
Yeah.
It's like Prime meets Deadpool. All right. Taking the bloat to a new level with added scopes and tracers. They light with a nice blue warning. The enemy, they are about to be fusioned. And I was just reading that. I don't know what to say there. they light up. They're blue. That's what it means.
No. Yeah, story. Was this the same guy last week?
It's Primus again. This is another Primus. Grammatical working of Almighty God.
Okay, Primus. Primus, we need to sort of have a sit down and talk, my friend, of your proofreading.
So. Hey, you know when God says the grammar's right, maybe it just is.
Yeah. Either that, or we need.
We take this guy's word for all kinds of crap. I mean, is really this the big problem?
Yes, you don't need to put your post back into Babelfish once you've written them, especially if they're English already. No, I'm sorry, I'm just giving the guy a hard time. But no, what do we think of these guns, though? I mean, I'm looking at them and really fascinated with these.
I think they're kind of cool. I think they actually light up too much. They've got a little too much going on most of them.
Yeah, but could that be just photography, maybe?
No, it's that, like, the light piping goes through the whole thing. And honestly, what I'm getting from these pictures here is like, man, oh, man, I want a Hanky Prime.
Yeah.
Just like,
Hanky Revenge of the Fallen or Classics?
I don't think they make a Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, actually, that was one of the news stories I cut out this week.
Oh, well, how would I know that then? This is where I get all my news.
Well,
this is where all good Transformer fans get their news,
well,
Anthony.
Well, you know, there's
a unless you're a communist.
There's only so much you can fit in an hour show.
Spelling
so.
America with a K, are we?
Mask. Do they know that mask combat not spelled with a K?
What?
From Robot Chicken Mask. Do they know that combat's not spelled with a K?
I got you.
All right. Anyhow. All right. I'm sorry.
Mortal Kombat. I'm not prepared to dispute Mask and Mortal Kombat. I say we change the word. Can I get, we get a vote on that?
Oh, that's right. Mortal Kombat is spelled with a K.
Yes, it is. Well, Mask can do whatever they want because they had the most rocking cartoon theme song of any cartoon in the 80s.
I know. I know. Journey could have sung it, so.
They didn't?
No, I know. It sounds like them, though. But that and you know, Lion doing the Transformers thing, I think, is probably still one of the best, you know, theme songs. I mean, it's like, wow. I still listen to that Gratz Heavy Metal, granted it's 80s flair, but compared to every other remake I've heard, you know, Mute Math and all this other stuff, that is still the best version of the Transformers theme song I have ever heard. So, then again, I haven't heard the Cheap Trick version, so that might be something I gotta listen to that yet. So, all right, moving on to Hasbro Studio names Kathy Samuels as executive producer. And we won't bore you with the press release junket, but basically, she's been named executive producer of the new studios. She'll be responsible for overseeing production in the number of the studio's creative initiatives and covering a variety of programming John Rose, according to Stephen J. Davis, Hasbro Studio President. Let's see, what else has she done?
Isn't this what we, didn't we cover this a couple weeks ago, or was that some other
one?
No,
it's, I think it's some, I think that was someone in a more executive position. Yeah. This is a producer position.
They're stocking their people, basically, and every time they do that, they have to release a press release. So.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
I tried to look this person up, and, you know, what troubles me is there doesn't seem to be any sort of fictional storytelling in her past. Not that she's going to be doing the actual story elements, but, you know, she will be hiring the people that are. And, like, most of her credentials are, like, Entertainment Tonight kind of things.
Well, she might be, like, really good at just the producing of it. I think they already got the creative people in the other areas. So far, it looks like they're actually getting some high-powered players to actually do this new television stuff for Hasbro and Discovery. So I'm thinking that chances are pretty good in our favor, and the next cartoon's going to be really good.
I don't think there's anything here that says that. I think this is just, they hired somebody who's probably, you know.
I'm speculating, trying to keep the fans' hopes up. You've obviously missed my point of my purpose here on the show.
Who comes here for hope?
Yeah, this is.
I do.
It's about venting and comedy and laughing away the pain of how much. Anyway.
Yeah, seriously.
It's like, don't you get your roles? It's like that. It's like that whole Daily Show skit that they had this week. It's like, and tomorrow, after we know the poll results, I will be here just to give the observance of diversity.
Anthony,
I saw that.
People don't get their jollies from the show because you're giving them hope. They get their jollies when we say things like Ortsy and Kurtzman write their dialogue with a Ouija board.
Well, actually, they
that lets us laugh it off.
They actually do laugh when I mess things up. So, you know, I gotta.
Well, there is that, but I wasn't gonna bring that
I'm,
up.
I'm like Wheelie. I'm just so happy. You hate me, but at the same time, you love me. But mostly hate me.
Aww.
See, but that was funny.
We don't hate you, Anthony. It's just the audience.
We just tolerate you.
He's hugging his Build-A-Bear right now. Love me, don't you, Mr. Wuggles?
No, that's actually Potato Head Prime, but close enough. All right, so.
A lot of Potato Head Prime in this issue.
Yeah. Matt Damon.
All right, so next, okay, so now we got comic news. Actually, we got a lot of comic news this week, so.
And we're going to keep having a lot of comic news for a while.
Well, good.
There's a lot of comics coming out.
So you know your purpose on the show, which is important, Ender. So what?
Oh, yes, I do.
So tell us about all this comic crap.
Okay, well, a preview came out this week for the first issue of the ongoing. And then we got a sort of interview / just sort of promo from Andy Schmidt, who's the editor at IDW, about that preview. And I guess we just have to jump straight into the spoilers. So, okay, spoiler alert, comic people,
beep,
spoiler
beep,
alert.
Beep, beep, beep,
beep. Okay, we have 3 pages of the first issue here, and Ironhide dies. Dead.
Well, not only that.
And humans kill him.
Really?
Yes. Ironhide is killed by humans.
Now, is it like the X-Men? I haven't really been following the new series yet. Is it like the X-Men death where they're only out of the equation for about 2 to 6 issues? Or?
Well, that's the question. And the thing is you know, and then there's the interview with Andy Schmidt that will come up. And he talks about, you know, oh, we wanted to release this and, you know, let people see where we're going and see why these are important and yada, yada. And I got to say, when you kill main characters off in the first 10 seconds, it says to me as a comic fan and as a longtime Transformers fan, oh, so you got nothing.
Yeah.
You got nothing going on here. Because any comic fan knows that nobody stays dead for more than 10 minutes, especially when they're a main character. And when they do, it's mostly just annoying. You know, it immediately evoked, like, a few years ago, they killed Colossus in the X-Men. And it was just like, yeah, nobody's buying that, man. We know he's, you know what I mean? Like, it used to be, I think they pull these things out like, this is going to have great emotional impact. And it doesn't, because we all know better. And it just comes to be like, wow, you think we're really stupid, don't you?
Well, the particular issue is that I don't know about you. I'm not liking this new style of drawing. Of the style.
That was a whole nother ballywick of complaint there. Most people I know that I've talked to about this hate this art style.
Yeah, it's not unless it's something where 10 years down the line they'll be looking back and go, oh, this is how they did Transformers for a while, you know, and this is basically where you tell your friends, oh, this is how we draw them now. But I am not. Blah. It's just it doesn't look the Transformers.
Their eyes are dead.
They look evil. The Autobots look evil, and it's like they're not supposed to look like scary robots that are human. They're supposed to look like robots. It's almost too much of the blending of the movie version into it.
Well, we saw this a few issues ago in All Hail Megatron. They had a bit of a preview that Don Figueroa drew, and it was kind of our first taste of this, and that got the same reaction. Just like, these look like corpses. Their eyes are dead. It's hard to look at. These three pages are hard to look at. And, you know, the guy's a really talented artist, and he's drawn some of the best Transformers images we've seen. And it's just like, no matter how good you are at what you do, when you're drawing something ugly, you're drawing something ugly.
Yeah.
And this is literally hard to look at, I feel like. I don't want to keep reading this. I don't want to look at it.
Same here. I agree.
And plot-wise, where we're going, you know, it looks like we're going to have Autobots stranded on Earth. The war is over, but now they're fighting humans. And I think it's like the exact wrong direction to go. I am so sick of every Transformers series basically having the plot line of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
Or
the Terminator. Like
this, yeah, we're having like, okay, it's vast galactic war. But we're going to focus on these six guys who crashed where we are so they can hang around with people all day. I'm all for them going to Earth and getting their classic alt modes. Just, you know, I don't even care that much about the classic alt modes. I would much rather see an expansive Transformers universe than this constant Earth-centric. You know, these are the characters. I don't need a human to stand next to the Transformers anymore to feel involved with them.
Right.
And if they're trying to get more movie fans or get more general fans or something with some kind of different direction, I hate to break it to everybody, but that is not who picks up G1 comics.
Yeah, well, generally the people who pick up comics are the real true fans of the series.
Yeah, and right now they're an angry bunch of people who are like picking them up out of habit, and like I think you should be going more out of the way. Like the movie, I totally understand the business of like, yeah, of course they cannot cater to the tiny little fan base of Transformers. But I kind of feel like in a Generation 1 comic, that is really who pays the bills.
Right.
That is the bread and butter there. It's, you know, G1 diehards picking up both covers and the trade.
Well, okay, so basically this is this new style is the new series that's going forward, correct?
And that's
going
to be the ongoing. As far, you know, as for the foreseeable future, this is what we're getting. This is issue 1 of an ongoing series. It does not have a planned end.
Now, what's the Continuum series now?
The Continuum is a single issue that's going to come out this Wednesday. It is meant to
bring everybody up to speed, right?
Yeah. We have a preview out for it, and of course, I'll have a full review up on tformers.com on Tuesday. From the preview, I will say I'm not convinced this is going to do the job it was supposed to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It is all rehashed images with little captions. And it's... Yeah, I'll wait to go really go into it until I can, you know, post the full review.
Okay. Touch base next...
We'll go into detail on this, but that's what that's meant to be. It's meant to catch you up. If you want to see it, it'll be out this Wednesday. But I will say, take it with a grain of salt. From what I've seen, it is not entirely accurate, at least what's written. There's a few. Maybe they'll make corrections to what I've seen. I mean, we do see preview images change.
Yeah.
But I have actually noticed errors in the preview. So
basically, what we're dealing with is they're going with a new direction of Transformers, and so far nobody likes the direction they're going.
Well, I mean, sure, there are some people that do, but I'd say the majority response that I've been seeing is pretty negative. And a lot of those people haven't seen the spoiler yet. You know, there was a lot of spoiler warnings on this preview, and people avoided it, and you know, for good reason in terms of you don't want a spoiler. But the death of a character like this, the direction they're taking it in, the not liking the artwork, it just these are all not positive indicators. And all I can, you know, you can't really rate a comic series without having, you know, read it.
Right.
From the marketing they've done, I can rate their marketing and like this interview and this preview and what the art looks like and what the direction is. What this marketing has failed with me. If I wasn't reading these to review them, I probably wouldn't be picking these up.
Right.
My recommendation on the ongoing right now is read some reviews and wait for the trade. If it's any good, you can read it later.
Right.
But I don't see anything that's really a positive indicator for where this is going.
And I'll actually agree with you on that so far. So this is one of the few times where I think your criticism is validly justified. So, not that I don't think your criticism about the movies that
yeah, I know.
Justified. you know what I mean.
So. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Okay. I take it as the compliment.
So. All right, well, before we do some quick reader email, did anybody see V?
I have a T-vote. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, darn it. All right, we'll watch it next week. We'll talk about it next week then.
I'll pretend I know what you're talking about.
V, the television show, the remake?
No, I mean, I'll pretend. I won't have watched it by then, so I'll pretend I know what you guys are talking about.
Oh.
I'll just throw in some, you know, acerbic jokes in there somewhere.
You're not going to watch V?
No, I'm not going to watch
another it. Great 80s icon show from the 80s.
I just kind of took it as an. I didn't even watch it in the 80s.
I didn't either, but.
Oh.
Well, I didn't
either. I got to watch it now.
Well,
now that they're rehashing it.
Well, yeah. Well, basically.
Watching the 80s, even though I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole during said decade.
Well, I didn't catch it much in the 80s, and I never knew what was going on. And when, you know, we got Netflix, we basically decided to catch up on that. And, you know, basically my roommate's like, oh, well, let's grab that and see, you know, what it, what, you know, I remember that. So we watched it again. It was pretty good for the 80s, at least for, you know.
I just remember sitting there being like, boring. All right, you know, call me when they're going to peel somebody's face off, okay?
Yeah. Well, that
wasn't that it? You kind of watch the show in the hope at some point you'd see the lizard face.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Call me when they're gonna peel someone's face off.
Well, you should check out the new one because it's actually, in my opinion, it's pretty good. It's they're definitely trying to do a Battlestar Galactica sort type of thing with it. So,
I remember some creepy little Muppet lizard baby.
Star Child.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. that was not bringing me back for more.
Unlike both of you, I watched V back in the day, so. I know what you mean.
Jace, all of a sudden your microphone went weird.
How's that?
Much better.
Yeah, excellent.
Okay. All right. We have some quick reader email that I've sent to Jason to read for my entertainment. So, Jace, do you have that?
Oh, you did you?
Yes, check your email.
Oh. Well, gosh, I guess I shall do so.
Well, while you do that, me and Ender will stall, so. So, Ender.
We're stalling.
What's that song that starts off the Bugs Bunny and Tweety show? Light the lights, da 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 da. On with the show, this is it. Da 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 da. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Or my
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying listening to you flail.
Da 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 da.
Hey, can I interrupt this self-flagellation for a second?
Sure.
Okay, I don't have the stuff that you sent me, so, you know, it's cool. No worries.
Oh.
Baby has to go anyway. I've got to get to work.
All right, well, we'll pick that up on next week, then we'll take care of the reader email we've gotten. So, speaking of that, you can always write to us at podcast@tformers.com if you want to send a reader email, or if you want to talk in conversation format, aka the forums, go check out the forums on tformers.com. You can catch Scaleface usually correcting anything we've missed and or any disagreements he has about the death of Sunstreaker with Ender. You can.
I think he corrected something about the part of my hair last week. I don't know how he can see that.
I don't know. He seems to be.
You know what? He's usually right. Sometimes he's correcting us on something I think is opinion, but
right.
He's right on the money. He's got all these. He corrected last week. In fact, I should say real quick is we were talking about KO toys, and I said maybe it was like knockoff toys, and then I kind of went off on that like an idiot. That is not what that stands for, apparently. And they do frequently get images of upcoming toys coming out. So sorry about that. I misrepresented that because I didn't know what it was.
And he also had a wooden station wagon, which I thought was hilarious.
Remember, just the way you delivered that. He had a wooden station wagon with a paper trailer and luggage made out of potatoes.
Well, that was funny because he was like, I love my old Woody, and I'm like, oh my gosh, actually somebody, and he had a picture, which I'm assuming is, I don't know if it's you, Scale Face, or your dad or something, but it was an old station wagon from the 70s, so.
They had the Griswold family mobile.
Yeah, so props to you for, you know, a lot of things, but mostly for having a station wagon that was made out of wood.
I had a convertible made out of bamboo.
Actually, he'll say I think it was fake wood, I think, or whatever it was. So he'll, you know what, he'll correct me either way. So
oh yeah, the station wagons had the wood laminate, and the Woodies were the older cars that had the actual wood paneling on it. But no, the station wagon was faux wood.
Oh okay.
See, we got to watch out, Scale Face, because once we're going to do like the April Fool's show, and we're just going to say everything wrong. We're just going to have a whole show of disinformation.
That's a good idea. I think we're going to do that. So they're releasing a new Revenge of the Fallen Mudflap, who transforms into Prime. That's not a bad idea. I think we're going to have to type that up, Ender. So. Yeah. All right, well, that's the T4Brews.com podcast for this week. Once again, go check us out. And that's it, folks. So once again, this has been Iron High 1975.
Sid Piper.
And Ender.
Have a good one.
Can you shed any light on the recent so-called alien activity
here? You know what? I think that if there was some sort of an alien infestation...
The government would be the first to let you know.
The government would let us know.
I mean, this is America.
Yeah. You know, that's how we know we live in a free land, because there's no secret. They'd say, hey, duck and cover.
T4Formers.com podcast is copyright 2009 T4Formers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us email at podcast@T4Formers.com. This has been an ENI production, all rights reserved.